You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins. Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger.
Hour three of the Daily Tip for BetQL presented by BetMGM coming at you. Great to be with you on a Wednesday. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Coming up in just a couple minutes, there's only one team in the National Football League with an 0-3 record. But does that mean the Raiders are the worst team in the league? That debate and much more coming your way in Fact or Fiction. Chelsea, I was just reading this, and it was a tweet from Front Office Sports on the old Twitter. LeBron James, Draymond Green, and Kevin Love are purchasing a Major League Pickleball team as part of a group that includes a few different entities. Pickleball is totally catching on. I've never played pickleball. I know very little about it. You have to inform me and enlighten me as to what's going on with this pickleball movement that is racing and exploding across the country, because I haven't seen it, I haven't played it, I don't know what's going on.
I had no idea, because the thing is, we have an apartment building next to us that has a pickleball court that we can see from our window, and I honestly thought all these people were playing pickleball just because they had a court and, you know, it's convenient. But yeah, it's some kind of nationwide trend, and maybe because it's like tennis, but you don't have to run as much. I think it's more accessible than tennis because, you know, tennis is a lot of running around and going back and forth. Pickleball is on a smaller court. So maybe that's why people are picking up on it. But I have no idea. I've never played, but I've seen this. I was at the mall the other day and they had a temporary pickleball court set up in the middle of the mall where they were having some kind of tournament. So clearly something's going on.
I wonder if this is going to be something that actually sticks or if it's going to be a fad. Do you remember in the 80s? You weren't even alive during the 80s. You were just a thought. I was alive during the 80s when racquetball was hot. I don't know if for a few years, racquetball was so hot, even in my small town in Texas. And I'm talking 5,600 people. Someone built a racquetball building, which I could not believe. It did not last. I feel like it was a very 80s thing. I can imagine in New York City, probably a stock trader. And then afterwards, you go out, you play some racquetball to stay in shape. You do some cocaine. You stay up most of the night. You get up the next day. You do it all over again. It was weird. It was super hot, and then it just faded, and people still play it. But there was a real movement behind it for a while. So I wonder if this is going to stick or if it's something that in 3 or 4 years, we're not really talking about pickleball.
Probably. I would imagine it's probably some kind of fad. Like, maybe it's fun, but yeah. We've seen this with so many other things. Remember yo-yos? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
When everybody had a yo-yo and the expensive ones, because I'm not talking about like the $3 ones. What was that brand that everybody had of yo-yos?
Oh, you know I know exactly about? What. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. They were like $50 yo-yos.
Oh, you can do all those tricks. Remember that?
Yeah, like, walk the dog.
This is the walk the dog. Oh, this is the butterfly. This is the arcade. All sorts of different things. You were trying to impress your friends, and I'd try it for like 10 seconds, and then my string would get wrapped around my yo-yo, and it'd take me 15 minutes to undo all the knots. That fad lasted about 30 seconds for me.
God, I want to know what that brand was, because like it was the hot toy. That and like Pogs.
Oh, God. Pogs. Hacky sacks. Did you ever hacky sack? That was probably before your time.
No, I don't have a soul patch.
Was it Duncan? I think it was Duncan. Duncan yo-yos? Is that right?
I have no idea, but it doesn't. Maybe it was. I don't know. Clearly, I need to do some yo-yo research.
Welcome to Yo-Yo Talk from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. We're talking about yo-yos for the next hour. When's the last time you heard a yo-yo discussion on the radio? All right, let's move on now and separate the truth from the lies and bring in our executive producer, Bill Roman.
Fact or fiction?
Yo-yos.
You know I've got a tidbit. You know I have one, right?
What? No, let's go for it. What is it?
On Netflix, you can find a program that will give you the highlights from the Yo-Yo Championships.
No.
I watched it yesterday. Just saying. It's out there. It's still a thing.
Was it good?
The same. It was entertaining only because you sat there and went, that doesn't look like any of the yo-yoing that I ever did. So, yeah. It was that and Rubik's Cube. They had a bunch of things from all these random sports, if you will.
Oh, I did see the thing Rubik's Cube for that. And it's about two friends, and they're like best friends, and they're two of the best in the world at the Rubik's Cube. So I've seen that. I may watch that, but I got to look for the one about yo-yos. I cannot believe we're doing this much yo-yo talk, but I'll look for that, yeah.
Same program. Absolutely. All right, here we go. Fact or fiction. Sorry, Chelsea. We'll get back to the actual sports here of the NFL. Fact or fiction number one, the Las Vegas Raiders, as Jinx mentioned in the open, the only team with three losses so far in the season. All three games they have lost have been by one possession, including that overtime game against the Cardinals. Now, Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are, and the Raiders are 0-3. So, Chelsea, does that make them the worst team in the NFL?
No. It's three games into the season. They can still win some games. So I'm not ready to say that the Raiders are the worst team in football, because look at one of those losses. It was in overtime with a fluky play with Hunter Renfrow fumbling the ball for, you know, a scoop and score for the other side for the Cardinals. So I'm not ready to say that they're the worst football team in the NFL. They're not great. Like, you know, 0-3 is not a great record. I'll give them that. But still, against the Chargers, that's a tough team. The Titans, that game went down to the wire as well. We saw this last year where the Raiders played in, I feel like, a lot of close games. Remember that game against the Bengals? So they've played teams that are good closely. They're a good team. They just are 0-3. So, yeah, sometimes you are what your record says you are. They're a bad team, but they're not that bad.
This is fiction. Might I point out the 2021 3-0 undefeated Carolina Panthers? How did that work out? You're going to tell me the Raiders are better, or excuse me, worse than the Jets? The Raiders are worse than the Texans? The Raiders are worse than the Seahawks? No. Now, I do love that quote from Bill Parcells, by the way, because that's such a head coach thing to say. You are what your record says you are. But, and there is some truth to that. But at the end of the day, this is a talented Raiders team that has underperformed. That's on the head coach. The Raiders need to step it up, but there's no way they're the worst team in the NFL. This will be much different by the end of the season. This is fiction.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'll go fiction as well, but I don't think they're as good as you guys are making them out to be. I'm not even sure if this is a 500 football team anymore, mainly because Josh McDaniels, he is 1-11 in his last 12 games as a head coach in the NFL. They look dysfunctional. They look terrible right now. Now, again, I understand it's only 3 weeks. A lot can change. I don't know that they get to 9 wins this year. Do you really think that this team can go 9-5 the rest of the season in that division? I don't think so.
How does Josh McDaniels continue to get head coaching jobs? Like, maybe go from somebody who is not in the carousel. Like, I get it. The NFL is like, well, this guy used to be a head coach. Maybe it'll work out here. How many times are we going to say that about Josh McDaniels? It ain't working out. I don't know why he keeps getting chances, but at some point you got to say, maybe let's hire somebody from outside the normal pool and, you know, take a risk.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he was a good hire from the jump, and now we're seeing it in full force.
And he's got problems because Davante Adams, after they lost, has already said he is both angry and frustrated with their start. And when you've got those wide receiver divas that are angry and frustrated, how well is that going to work out?
Well, but you should be angry and frustrated if you're 0-3. Like, if he's like, you know, I'm fat and happy, like, that wouldn't go over well.
No, true, but you still don't want the guy sitting there saying, hey, we should be better. Because he scored in all three games. It's not like he's not getting the ball or he's not doing his thing. He's just frustrated with everybody else who's not doing theirs. Speaking of a guy who's not getting it done, Bears quarterback Justin Fields threw for 275 yards combined in the first three games of the season. He hasn't attempted more than 17 passes in a single game this season. And he's only completed 51% of those, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks, and he's taken 10 sacks. So, Jinx, maybe this wasn't Matt Nagy's fault after all. Fact or fiction, Justin Fields not going to be an NFL quarterback.
I think this is a fact. Now, there's a few things here. Number one is Justin Fields does not look good. Number two is he doesn't have a lot to work with. So let's give him a little bit of leeway. It's not like Justin Fields is playing with an all-star roster or a Pro Bowl roster, and he's just not getting it done. But I think this is kind of on the Bears. They hired a defensive-minded head coach, and I would think if you're building your franchise around a franchise guy like Justin Fields that you drafted to be the centerpiece of what you're going to do moving forward, you should bring in someone at least who can help develop that talent. They did not do that. So Justin Fields does bear some responsibility, but so does Chicago for not bringing in someone who can help cultivate that talent and going with a defensive-minded head coach. So I'm going to say fact, I think this is on the Bears.
I think we need to look at this a little differently because aren't the Bears 2-1? Isn't the ultimate stat the win and loss column for a team? So Justin Fields is doing what he needs to do to win games. And I don't think the Bears are going to be, you know, like an 8-win team this season. But still, I think Justin Fields has a ton of talent. We've seen flashes. He is just playing on a bad team. So I don't think it's fair to say that Justin Fields is a bad quarterback because of his numbers and saying that he hasn't attempted that many passes. That's just the type of quarterback he is. And a lot of that is the play calling. So I think that it is very unfair to pin this on Justin Fields. And also, the Bears have a winning record right now, which is more than you could say for the Bears in, what, the past couple seasons?
I'll go fact, and maybe for different reasons than what Jinx said. But, Chelsea, if you're going to give wins and quarterback wins as a stat, they're as useless as pitcher wins in Major League Baseball. Doesn't mean anything. Tom Brady's 1-2. Tom Brady's worse than Justin Fields. Joe Burrow's 1-2. Is he worse than Justin Fields?
I'm not saying that you put Justin Fields over those guys because of that. I am saying if you look at his stats and you're saying, well, he's not throwing the ball enough, that's when it takes into effect. Because if you're doing what you need to do to win the game, like, who cares if you have 100 and some yards passing? Remember when Big Ben won a Super Bowl with under 200 yards passing? It happens all the time. So I'm just saying it's unfair to look at his numbers and say, well, he needs to throw the ball more. It doesn't matter if you win the game.
Oh, that's true. But I will say this. They're not having him throw the ball more because he only completes 51% of his passes because he's not a good quarterback right now. Maybe he will be eventually. I don't trust him, and clearly the Bears don't trust him because they only let him throw 17 times a game. He's got two touchdowns and four picks, and he's taken 10 sacks. I don't think it's going to work. I think he's another Ohio State quarterback that's going to come in the league, and it's not going to work.
All right, Bill, I need to tag somebody in here because I think I'm going to have some reinforcement from Double D. Double D, back me up here.
That's fine.
Listen, here's my issue, and I'm dealing with this in Chicago with all these Bears fans out here that are just overreacting to this so tremendously and so hard that it is ridiculous. He has no offensive line. He's getting, maybe if he's lucky, 4 seconds to pass the ball. The greatest quarterbacks in the world would struggle with that. Not saying they wouldn't be better, but they would still struggle. You have a run game that is doing extremely well right now. And quite frankly, your tight end and your wide receivers are not getting open. So how is he supposed to throw the ball when his wide receivers aren't open? Point blank, end of story. The story still needs to be written on Justin Fields because Justin Fields does not have anything around him.
Well, Double D, wouldn't this go back to the fact that if you're a defensive-minded head coach instead of an offensive-minded one, and you know you have a lack of weapons, and you know your guys aren't getting open, but you do have a successful run game, shouldn't you be able to design play calls or at least do something to get Justin Fields in the open field or help him play off the fact that he does have a strong running game? And why can't it be both? Why can't it be, all right, yeah, you don't have a lot of offensive weapons, but also Justin Fields is not a guy who has exactly stepped up when you consider the circumstances.
Well, new offense, once again. The pass blocking has been atrocious. The run blocking has been spectacular for that offensive line. I'm just saying, Poles and Eberflus have both come out and said this is a rebuild issue. They are 2 to 3 years away from being where they want to be. This is a project, not a transformation, as the Atlanta Falcons love to say. So I wasn't expecting them to be 2-1. I was expecting them to be 0-3 after week 3. So this is a huge surprise, and I think that's the biggest issue, is that they're actually winning when he's not playing the greatest.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.